This podcast is scheduled for one fall. Now residing in the Quad Cities, Dave in the QC. And his tag team partner from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Do you experience digital eye strain from too much blue light exposure from your digital screens? Baxter Blue Glasses are not your average frames. Their blue lenses filter 80% of the high-energy blue light, eliminating 99% of glare. The past year, we have all been glued to our devices more than ever. My son is no exception. He's on his iPad every single day, but with Baxter Blue, his eyes don't hurt. Our exposure to digital light has soared, and our eyes and our sleep are suffering as a result. Baxter Blue is also a force that for good and provides a pair of reading glasses for someone in need with every pair sold. This is eyewear built for our digital age, and Baxter Blue is giving our listeners 10% off your next purchase of blue light, sleep, or kids' glasses. Click the link in our show notes for the exclusive discount. This is the sign you have been waiting for to invest in blue light glasses. We know you will love Baxter's, and we know that you will feel the difference. It is Friday. It is 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is right here with you right now. I am the man with a magical voice. He is Dave in the QC. So, Dave, so it's been a long week. Anything really interesting happened in your world this week?
No, not really. Bought a $1,300 MacBook for fun.
Yay.
And then just joined my golf course as a member. We got the first time we've had the opportunity to do that. We got new owners. It's actually a golf professional now. The guys just bought it and moved into the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it's... I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how they do with this golf course. So we got a really nice golf course out here where I live. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially out by you, being out there in the middle of nowhere out there. That's, I'm sure it's golf country out there. A lot of nice golf courses.
There's a couple of them out here where we live. Mm. So, I mean, obviously way out here where I live, there's only the one. But it's nice to have a golf course in your neighborhood. You can't beat it.
Is it a big golf course, or is it kind of...
Oh, it's 18 holes, and it's a Nicklaus design. I mean, it's a really nice course.
Oh, so it's like legit.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about the new owner is he won't let us take our own golf carts out there.
Right.
So that's what I used to do last year. Just hop on mine right over there and roll with it. But now I have to use the course golf cart, but that's all right. It's the only thing I don't like. But I went over there for a meeting right before we had this. We had to do our men's league meeting, and then I had to get the lowdown on the couples league as well. And of course, the very first day there's couples league, I got to go to a freaking 1-year-old's birthday party.
Exactly what you want to do, I'm sure.
So instead of playing golf that I just spent a fortune on to play, I will go to a birthday party for a 1-year-old.
Did you play consistently last season? Obviously barring all the crap that's been going on, but when in a normal year, did you get out a lot?
I got out more last year than I ever have in my life. Yeah, so I actually joined the men's league last year and did men's league and some other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'll play. I got to make sure I get my money's worth this year. So you bet your ass I'm going to be out there.
Yeah. So you and the missus can get out there and win some hardware, bring it home.
She spends more time looking for golf balls than anything. It's quite annoying.
Well, we can have my grandfather.
Just hollered up. I heard that.
But my grandparents golf for like 35 years straight every single day. So my grandfather was like that. He'd collect golf balls.
Up until last year, my grandmother played golf. And then, so she's 89
mm-hmm.
and she's starting to show signs of Alzheimer's. So she can't drive herself to the golf course anymore.
Yeah.
She played 18 holes pretty much 5 days a week.
Yeah. No, but he was 70 something and he shot his age.
That's better than me. I suck hard, but hey, you know what it is? It's fun. I go out there, I get lit. All good.
That's all that matters. And when I used to play on a regular basis, we used to call them their beer wench on the, in the golf cart going around with all the beer and booze and stuff on the golf course. I'm like, well, she's got to make money too, I guess, but I digress anyways. But this week I figured we saw WrestleMania, which was a hell of a WrestleMania, a lot better, I think, better than last year, obviously with fans allowed in the stadium this year. But I figured we get one of those bangers out there with WrestleMania 10. And one of my favorites, there's not too many WrestleManias out there that I don't like, but this one is right up there with some of the better ones.
I liked WrestleMania 10. It gets a bad rap, I think, but it's not bad. It's better than some of the, I think WrestleMania 10 is better than the one we just watched from this year.
Oh yeah. That's no doubt about that. But even this year's had its moments. It's just a matter of, okay, you got to make sure that you take it for what it's worth. It's not going to be all peaches and cream, rainbows and sunshine every time, but you have to go into it with little expectation, and sometimes you're surprised. But one thing that we haven't been surprised is the great job that Mr. Rich Paladino has been doing for us on this great show, The Ringside Rant. So let's send it up to the ring for him for our opening contest.
Ringside Rant fans, it is now time for RJ and Dave to throw down their opinions. It's the opening contest.
All right, thanks, Rich, for that. So, Dave, WrestleMania 10 was the first edition. I had to actually think about it for a second. This was the first WrestleMania that Hulk Hogan was not on it, which I think, I don't know if he was officially gone yet or he was filming a movie. I'm pretty sure he was gone though, because 94.
He was officially gone because he debuted in WCW not long after this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was officially gone. I'm pretty sure the writing was on the wall. I don't remember exactly when the ticker tape parade was for him at Disney World when he actually signed with WCW. But I mean, you know, that whole negotiations took a long time. It didn't just happen quickly. So Hogan was gone by then. The WWF had moved on.
They're trying to move on, try to find, you know, different faces of the company. You know, you had Razor Ramon, you had Diesel, you had Shawn Michaels, you had Bret Hart, you had Owen Hart. They were really pushing hard for Bret Hart to be that face of the company in these few years here that everybody's been saying that's been those gimmick years between 94 all the way up to the attitude when the Attitude Era started.
Well, the gimmick started before 94.
Well, but a little bit more once you got to 94, it's pretty much more of a hardcore gimmick.
Or everybody had to have
everybody had a
job,
right? Or an occupation. Everybody's a plumber, electrician, or dentist or something. Yeah, I think this is the first dentist that was in the Hall of Fame, right?
I would think so.
I don't think there was another dentist.
Unless some of the older dudes from like the 60s and shit were dentists that we didn't know about.
So, like we said, the shift was pretty much over to Bret Hart being that face of the company. We saw the classic match that they had here between Bret and Owen. I can't, previous to this, this was probably, to me anyways, one of the better buildups to a match.
Quote, that was from his at Survivor Series is when Owen was the only one pinned in the Hart Foundation versus the Shawn Michaels and the Royal Family. Because it was supposed to be Jerry Lawler, but he got in trouble with a pretty serious rape allegation or something like that that came about. So Lawler was out.
94, yeah, yeah.
So that was the first showing of a heel turn for Owen. When he came back in, when the team was celebrating and pulled Brett down and shoved him, yada, yada, yada. You know, that's when Brett started saying, I will not fight Owen under no circumstances will I fight Owen. Mm-hmm. And then they teamed at Royal Rumble.
That's what
against
it was.
The Quebecers to win the tag titles. Yeah. So they ended up losing because Brett never tagged Owen with the injured knee.
And that's when he kicked his leg out of his leg,
as he said.
Yeah.
So that was the official heel turn for Owen, was at the Royal Rumble.
And then that basically got him going full speed ahead to WrestleMania 10 here in Madison Square Garden in 94. A lot of people consider this one of the best matches in WrestleMania history. This card, we'll get into a little bit later, but there was a pretty good amount of decent matches on this card. This Owen Hart being one of them. Do you, with Hart go, Bret Hart going into this match thinking, okay, he's got to win, right? He's got to win. And then Owen rolled up in the corner, that move that we've seen hundreds of times in these highlights. Do you think this heel turn and the feud with Bret really put Owen on the map?
Well, I think so. I mean, this is pre-days of internet, and, you know, this is when I'm, let's see, 94, so I was 12 at this time, 12 and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no internet yet for us to get all the rundown of what's going on. I didn't have any dirt sheet access or anything like that, so I had no knowledge of if WWF was looking to push Owen Hart or something like that. I just watched the product. So I didn't really think Owen Hart would win. I mean, Bret Hart was in a world title match at the end of the night. So you wouldn't really expect your, you know, number one contender or number one A contender to be getting beat earlier in the night. But I mean, I think it was really good for Owen's career. I still think WWF at the time could have done more with Owen's career. And what I mean by that is, you know, previous to this, Owen Hart didn't do hardly anything in the WWF. He was pretty much a jobber to the stars and mid-carder at best. You know, I think probably his best little run he had might have been as a tag team with Coco Beware as High Energy at one point.
Yeah.
So this whole heel turn really helped Owen. He beat Bret Hart at WrestleMania. He then went on to win the King of the Ring. He then faced Bret Hart at SummerSlam in the steel cage match. And then I kind of think that's where it all ended for Owen. And I think that that was the wrong call. So, and what I mean by that is, If I were the booker, and this is the way that I'm going, I see money in Owen. If you see money in Bret, why would you not see money in Owen? Mm-hmm. So Owen turns heel. He beats Bret Hart at WrestleMania. So I think if I would do it, I would have Owen turn heel, but I would have had him lose to Bret Hart at WrestleMania. Kind of like the same way he lost to Bret Hart, or the same way he beat Bret Hart, but have the roles reversed. So I would have had Owen lose. From there, I would have had Owen win the King of the Ring. And then instead of Diesel beating Razor Ramon at a random house show or whatever for the Intercontinental title, I would have had Owen do it on a Monday Night Raw or something like that. And then I would have had Owen get a run as the Intercontinental Champion throughout the summer. So we had Diesel get the belt prior to King of the Ring. Owen could have already had it by then, for all intents and purposes. Hold the belt. Diesel held it to SummerSlam when Razor beat him back. Owen could have held it till SummerSlam. Say it was a rematch with Owen and Razor Ramon at SummerSlam. And, you know, he could have gotten distracted by a returning bulldog or something like that, that could have helped with the feud. Then they could have ended up having at Survivor Series instead of Bret Hart and Bob and a 45-year-old Bob Backlund in the submission match. They could have had it with Bret and Owen in the submission match for the world title.
It's because they were in the cage then, right?
No, the cage was at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam. Oh,
you're Survivor Series. Okay. Yeah, Survivor Series was Bret and Backlund in the submission match to throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. So I think that would have been the perfect opportunity for Owen Hart to win the WWE title at Survivor Series.
Right, right, right.
I would have liked to have seen Owen Hart win the belt there. And then that's the way you could have gotten it off Bret with a screwy finish. So you could have had Bulldog. And, you know, at this time in the summer, they didn't have to necessarily bring up Jim Neidhart. They could have had him sitting in limbo. So Neidhart could have been the one that convinced Martha Hart to throw in
the towel
after Davey Boy got knocked out or something. Like Owen did. So it could have just been something different. You know, it could have been like Bob Backlund as the person who was supposed to throw in the towel for Owen Hart or whatever the case may be, instead of Owen with Backlund before. But, you know, and then you could have had Neidhart as the one that convinced him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I just think at this venture, they played this out. This wasn't going to be the last time. And I think they played it out time-wise perfectly. But at the end of the day, Bret got over more. And obviously because he was the face and Owen was the heel, but I just wish, like you were saying, is that he would get some sort of run with the title at this point, because later on it didn't really make too much sense. It would make more sense if you do it early so he has a little bit of a run with it.
I think he should have had it. And even if he were to lose it to Diesel a couple days later, which I wouldn't have done, I think Owen Hart should have gotten the rub and been champion from Survivor Series up until Royal Rumble or something. Then you could have put the belt on Diesel to have the feud with Shawn Michaels or whatever.
You're talking the IC though, right? You're not talking.
No, this is the world title.
Oh, you're talking the big one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would have liked to have seen that. Owen wins it at Survivor Series. Diesel wins it at Royal Rumble. You get the feud with Owen and Bret again, you know, because Bret comes back. They could have had the other submission match, like what Bret and Bob Backlund had at WrestleMania 11. That could have been Bret and Owen in the rematch. Bret could have gotten his win back. And then just, you know, the title would have been off and it's off to the races with Diesel from there. But I think WWE, obviously the heel turn helped give Owen that push. But I think they kind of fumbled it a little bit after the cage match at SummerSlam. I kind of think Owen was never going to be the champion at that time anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they really know what to do with him after that. I mean, because you think about it, he still never won the Intercontinental title for another 3 years.
Yeah, because then he would be in that feud with Austin.
Yeah, he beat Rocky Maivia for the Intercontinental title some 3 years later. Prior to SummerSlam 97, when he lost it to Austin and broke Austin's neck at the same time. But
and even towards the end of his end of his career there, he was pretty much putting a lot of guys over, like a Rock, like an Austin, like a Triple H.
And that's one thing I didn't understand either. So yeah. You think back to that whole thing. You have Survivor Series 97 happens with the Montreal screw job.
Mm-hmm.
Neidhart ends up leaving a couple weeks later after joining DX, and then they turn on him.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Boy leaves immediately. Bret Hart leaves immediately. Pillman was dead, so he passed away a month before.
Mm-hmm.
Owen came back a month later at In Your House Degeneration X to attack Shawn Michaels.
Right.
But he never had a title match. He never really had anything. He joined, and he was in the main event for In Your House No Way Out. In February of 98, it was DX and the New Age Outlaws, but Shawn Michaels didn't wrestle because he was injured, so Savio Vega took his spot. And then it was, Steve Austin, I don't remember if it was the Legion of Doom, and Owen Hart, maybe.
Was it not LOD? The DOA, maybe?
No, nah, it wasn't DOA. I think it was LOD. Let me look real quick. I think it was Austin, LOD, and Owen Hart versus Triple H, Savio Vega.
Get a kind of different view on it, too, as far as his run, that being Owen. I would have liked them to play on the emotions. You know, you said Brett left, Davey left, Neidhart left. Play the emotions on that.
It was Cactus Jack, Chainsaw Charlie, Owen Hart, and Steve Austin.
Oh, geez. That's a lethal team right there. But I would have rather seen him get that run later on. Still get these wins, still get the rub, still get the push here in WrestleMania time in 94 at 10 here. And then later on, when everybody leaves him, basically to catch the crap of every of them. Because you know it happened. Everybody says it didn't, but it had to.
I wish he'd have gotten a run. Yeah. He should have gotten an Intercontinental and World title run.
Oh yeah, at least once
in 94. I think it should have happened in 94. So basically, the belt situation that Diesel got, I think, should have went to Owen.
Yeah,
I don't think Diesel needed it.
Well, but Diesel, I don't think Diesel's always been one of those guys his whole career that he didn't need that title. He was always going to be over because he's a big ass dude that's going to kick the shit out of you. And
I'm okay with Diesel having the run in 95 as champion.
Yeah.
But I liked Diesel as champion better than Brett. But that's just me. I'm just not a big Bret Hart guy. Never have been, never will be. It is what it is. Loved Owen Hart, though.
Oh, yeah.
Just not a big Bret guy.
But, and I think at this, we said it to begin the show, is that I think in 94, they were more worried about having a face of the company. Bret was that face, whether you liked him or you didn't like him. The guy that's going to do all these press shows, these radio shows, these TV things, these commercials. The guy that's basically going to sell the goddamn merchandise.
Well, I mean, any guy you make the champion is going to do that. It is what it is.
Yeah.
They all do that.
Heavyweight title here. We saw, like you previously mentioned, there's two title matches. One with Bret and Yokozuna. And then one first with Lex Luger and Yokozuna, and then later with Bret and Yokozuna. And for those of you that aren't familiar with this was that whole kerfuffle, that clusterfuck that you want to call it, maybe, of the 94 Royal Rumble that it was, where they both went out.
We got it by accident, though, with John Cena and Batista.
Yeah.
And then we also kind of had it with The Rock and Big Show back in 2000.
Yeah, but you got to work the cameras, guys. Come on.
So I liked it. Not even going to lie. I liked the finish of the 1994 Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. It was good. It brought about, you know, controversy. A lot of people thought Lex Luger was going to become the WWF champion. Never happened. But, you know, he's another. I kind of think WWF missed the ball with him by not putting the belt on him in 93.
Yeah.
So, but obviously, I mean, everybody can't always have the belt. But Luger, that SummerSlam 93, Luger versus Yokozuna, Luger was over. And he was a new face. I mean, he was a heel when he came in. I always thought Lex Luger played a better heel than face. But the Made in the USA, Lex Luger was over in summer of 93.
Mm-hmm.
And I think WWE screwed up by not letting him beat Yokozuna at SummerSlam. That whole big parade they threw and all the guys coming down to hoist Luger up on their shoulders after the count out win was just stupid.
It didn't make sense. It didn't. You're telling your fans that, hey, that you can get counted out and you still get a celebration. Oh, bullshit. Shut up.
Yeah, that was dumb.
But do you think it played why he didn't get it is because he couldn't, he wasn't the best guy in ring. He was more of the, he's more of a body guy, obviously. Or do you think it was just other things?
I think he probably would have gotten it. He wasn't a very good interview.
Right.
But I think one of the reasons is because he was kind of a dick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've heard Bruce Pritchard talk about having to shoot vignettes with Lex Luger and how it would become a real pain in the ass because he'd be late. He wouldn't want to do this. He'd whatever. And I think a lot of that comes into play. If you're going to have somebody represent your company, they got to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hulk Hogan was there for what they needed him for. Bret Hart was there for what they needed. I mean, hell, The Undertaker was there for what they needed him for 30 damn years. Obviously, the last few years, it's only there once a year, but I mean, Undertaker played ball. That's what you got to do. So Lex Luger didn't have the talent or the mic skills of a Shawn Michaels to be a pain in the ass like Shawn Michaels was. But Shawn Michaels still played ball when it came to doing things. But I think just over the years, the drug use, the things, you know, Shawn Michaels became a dick. I don't really know, but I think that probably plays a big part into why Luger never got the rub.
Yeah, because we saw the acting president, Jack Tunney, basically say, hey, we're going to do a coin toss. If you win, you can go first. If you lose, you're going second, blah. I don't know if this is just, it might just be me, but this is kind of like insulting your intelligence. It's like, you guys already picked this out. I was looking at it now instead of looking at it then as a 10-year-old for me. Okay, it made sense. Okay, you're going to coin toss. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really matter. I kind of look at it, though, as Lex Luger kind of got screwed. And Yokozuna at the same time. Bret Hart gets to wrestle the very first match of the night and then the very last match of the night. Lex Luger and Yokozuna go on in the middle of the night for their match before, you know, the winner would have to go on again shortly thereafter. Shouldn't the champion and Lex Luger have had the first match of the night?
You would think.
That would have made more sense.
Well, but then it tells you that, hey, maybe it's not actually going to happen then. Maybe Luger's going to win because
once Luger lost, or I guess, you know, his little DQ thing, you knew Bret was going to win after that.
Oh, yeah. But even this whole thing that with Mr. Perfect, that was a guest referee for Luger's match, DQing him for, you know, bringing the managers in, bringing Cornette in, bringing Mr. Fuji and all that stuff. It's like, really?
Well, it was a way to turn Perfect heel again.
Yeah.
But the problem was his Perfect left after that.
Because just came back because he lost the, he didn't lose that match. He beat Flair for the Loser Leaves WWE match there on Raw.
Yeah, but that was a year and a half earlier.
Well, right.
I mean, he wrestled throughout 93.
Because he had that feud with Triple H.
But he left. He was supposed to be at Survivor Series 93.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't. He was supposed to be on Razor Ramon's team.
Right.
And he no-showed. So Savage took his place. But Perfect wasn't seen on TV again until WrestleMania. But then he was pretty much gone after that, too. And then he came back in 95.
Mm-hmm.
He came back around Survivor Series of 95. Because he did color with Vince McMahon for that show.
95, yeah.
So I don't really know. I mean, it was a way to have a screwy finish so a top star didn't get beat, which I just don't understand. Why can't people ever be pinned? Everything's just got to have some kind of weird, funky finish.
Kind of like today, unfortunately. But
well, I mean, it's one of those things that's Vince's way of thinking. But it's also, you know, one of the things that kills me about Bret Hart is, you know, his refusal to admit that. And he's not the real world champion in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, everybody knows that pro wrestling is predetermined.
Right.
It's OK. We don't think any less of somebody. Because they lost a pro wrestling match.
True.
So that's what annoys me about Bret Hart.
I don't know. It just seemed a little screwy for me. It was kind of like, okay, we looking at it now, like I said, it's like, okay, you can see the writing on the wall with this stuff.
And it's like, okay, maybe we should start planning a little bit better for this stuff. The other big thing I wanted to touch on was this ladder match, the first big time ladder match for the IC, undisputed IC title.
Let me stop you there. You're talking about the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Nah.
I'll fight you.
I know you'll fight me about it. but I had this argument with somebody else the other day talking about best WrestleMania matches before WrestleMania. And I said, everybody wants to talk about certain Mr. WrestleManias. God damn, son. Shawn Michaels, you talk about the best matches of all time. Shawn Michaels is probably on, I'd say, 80% of them.
He's in most of them.
Yeah. But this was transcending of a match, we'll say. This is going back to where Jack Tunney ended up getting involved again, stripping Michaels of the IC title because he wasn't defending it as often. And I'm like, what?
Well, Michaels was suspended for he pissed hot on a drug test or steroids or something. Steroids.
Yeah,
he failed the steroid test, but he was adamant that he hadn't taken steroids.
Right.
And if you've gone back and read interviews or something about it, he had said, you know, I was probably the biggest of my career there, fat wise.
Yeah. How could I have taken steroids if I was that big? Yeah.
So he refused to give the belt back. And then I think he kind of had a little falling out with Vince. And then, you know, all was made well. And then they ran the angle to keep the title, you know, have him keep the belt that he kept. And then, you know, work it into a feud with Razor Ramon. And I think it was awesome.
I enjoyed it because then you see Razor winning it, beating Rick Martel, which I love that match. I always thought that Martel's always been very underrated in and outside of the ring, on the microphone, in the ring, what have you. But that sets up going in here to WrestleMania 10, them going back and forth. Like you said, he's refusing the title. He's refusing this. But he finally realized, hey, this is actually going to be something. Let's get this ladder match. It's interesting to see, too, when they came out. Nowadays, you see like 20 ladders by the damn ring. You saw what, three? Maybe?
That ladder match had one ladder, and the ladder was broken by the end.
But wasn't there there was two in the aisle, and wasn't there one in the ring?
No, there was one in the aisle, and that is the ladder.
I thought there was. Oh, I might have been thinking something else.
One ladder only. And I think the reason, and I think because the next ladder match that they had at SummerSlam 95, there was two ladders.
Yeah.
I think they learned their lesson because that ladder broke. It ended up breaking. Luckily, it held for Razor Ramon to get up there to get the belts at the end. But you go back and watch that match, that ladder is broken in that match. And it's looking flimsy as shit from all the shots the ladder took.
Right. Well, and this feud was another one of those feuds similar to the Bret and Owen where they played it out a while. Like you said, SummerSlam 95 again.
Well, you could do it then. I mean, everybody wasn't gimme, gimme, gimme now.
Yeah.
You know, so you had a chance. And then also, you didn't have a pay-per-view every freaking month. You don't have all these dumbass shows like what we're going to get. We're going to get. It's not even Backlash anymore. Now it's WrestleMania Backlash. That just means we're going to get a bunch of fucking rematches.
Basically.
So it sucks. I wish, you know, and back in the late 90s or whatever, I liked it. More wrestling, more wrestling, more wrestling, more wrestling. But at this day and age, I think they need to roll back the pay-per-views because the product's just not as good anymore. And it's not doing anything for anybody. I wonder what the real buy rates, I guess. I mean, you can't really say buy rates are, but what the real viewership numbers for these pay-per-views are.
Yeah, we
like
definitely
TLC. TLC, like who the fuck watches that? I mean, granted, we do, but but I mean, like, I don't watch that as hardcore now as I used to. Like, I mean, I'll watch Royal Rumble. I'll watch WrestleMania. I'll watch SummerSlam and Survivor Series. But if the wife and I have something going on when WWE Fastlane's on. I don't give a shit. I'm not watching Fastlane. I'm going to go do something.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people, though, now that you have, like you said, you have a pay-per-view every month or twice a month or whatever. It's starting to get stupid at this point. But now, before we move on, I want to address the whole association of Cornette and Mr. Fuji with Yokozuna. I get the Mr. Fuji, but why Cornette? Was it just a matter of they didn't want Yokozuna to talk, you think?
I think Cornette was just the American spokesperson. Like they said, they used him. I mean, Cornette was the reason that Yokozuna got the win over Hogan at King of the Ring 93 with the whole camera thing. And Cornette was with him from then on. So, I mean, I think it fit. I didn't have a problem with it. Cornette was the mouthpiece for Yokozuna because they didn't want Yokozuna talking, because then people would find out he's not really Japanese.
Right.
So Fuji could interview only so far. And I mean, so if he's going to be your top heel, you got to have somebody go out there and talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I always found it interesting to see Cornette come out with him. Like, doesn't fit, but I get it, I guess. Let's go up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
So to start off our rants and raves this week, Dave, we saw Bam Bam Bigelow in this pay-per-view, this WrestleMania 10, against fucking Doink the Clown in a mixed gender, I guess you could call it, because he was in his main squeeze, Luna Vachon, against
I still to this day use that. I refer to my wife all the time as my main squeeze.
You have to. That's
love it.
But that gets over, man. But I just never, ever got the miscarriage of justice that they did Bam Bam. You go back all the way, because I think he goes all the way back to, what, WrestleMania 4, maybe, where he started?
I know he was at WrestleMania 4. He might have been at one earlier.
If anything, maybe 3, but I don't think he was much before that. But he's always been one of those guys, from my understanding, so from what I've read, is he was nothing like his in-ring character outside of the ring. Gentle giant, but you get that guy in the ring, you flip that switch, and he's bent out of hell. And they just, I don't know if they just did, they didn't know what to do with them. I don't know how you wouldn't. One of the most athletic big guys, if not the most athletic big guys in the business, period, not only at this time.
Seemingly the only person that knew what to do with Bam Bam Bigelow and who utilized Bam Bam Bigelow right was Paul Heyman.
Yeah, in ECW.
Right. Bam Bam Bigelow was awesome. I mean, because he was there. I mean, he was part of like Hulk Hogan's tag team in 88 at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was there. He had runs. But I don't really understand how he never really got the rub. But he never got it anywhere other than ECW.
Yeah, but
and I guess, I mean, I think he was a pretty big deal in Japan too, but.
Well, yeah, when he went over there, but even when he went to WCW, he was more towards the end of his career then too, more so.
Yeah.
In WCW, but where he was just doing the hardcore thing where, hey, what do we do with the hardcore? Yeah, just throw anybody in there.
But I was excited to see him when he supposedly was getting his push in WWF as a face in 95. But it flamed out so fast that, I mean, because he wrestled Lawrence Taylor at WrestleMania 11 and got beat, turned face shortly thereafter, was in the main event tag teaming with Diesel against Tatanka and Sid at King of the Ring. And by Survivor Series, I mean, he got absolutely squashed by Goldust. Go back and watch Survivor Series 1995. Bam Bam Bigelow got squashed. And he was gone from the company after that.
Yeah, because then he went over to ECW then, right? Or thereabouts. Or I mean, he might even went over to Japan.
He went over to Japan. He went to ECW in like 97.
Late. Yeah, because then he went to Japan for a couple of years, which I think a lot of people did at that time, because there wasn't the predominancy that it is now of all these promotions. But it's just, you look bad. He's always been in a conversation of people that are underrated, guys that are underrated that should have been pushed more. I just don't know. I don't think that they knew what they had with him. I think they tried it and then it kind of fizzled out right after that, the Lawrence Taylor debacle. Cause I think that's pretty much what shot him in the foot.
Probably. I mean, he was supposed to get a push as a face after that, but I'm not a big fan of celebrities coming into wrestling and beating wrestlers. To me, that makes zero sense to your product. You're basically shitting on your own product.
Right.
So, I mean, I get Lawrence Taylor is a football player and he's a big dude or whatever. Like this past weekend, I don't really understand Bad Bunny coming in and making The Miz and Morrison look like complete fools. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right.
Never has. So kind of like, you know, WCW back in the day, you had Dennis Rodman come in and make people look like fools. Karl Malone came in. I mean, hell, he had Jay Leno making Hulk Hogan look like a dummy at one point. Right. You had in WWF, you had William Shatner basically beat up Roddy.
Didn't he have something with Lawler too?
Yep. He had a little spat with Lawler too. And that's just like, I mean, you're having these guys come in and make fools out of people that are superstars or, you know, and it just, to me, it makes zero sense.
I get
the celebrity thing. You want celebrities in, yada, yada, yada. But you can't shit on your homegrown talent for a celebrity who's going to be there for a quick paycheck and then gone.
If you want to talk about celebrity and then shitting on the product, I have two perfect examples for you. And that was later on. You had Snooki from the Jersey Shore. And then you had that Akebono thing with the Big Show, that Subo match. I believe that was at what, 22, 21?
Was that 21 or 22? I don't remember.
I think it was 21. But yeah, it blows my mind. It's like, I get it. But you want to get eyes on the prize.
At least Akebono was a legit sumo star.
Yeah, Snooki was Snooki. Yeah, but get it where you want to have them. Backstage doing interviews like a WrestleMania 6 that we just covered, or that we've covered. You have them as a timekeeper, a ring announcer, commentator, whatever. Fine, wonderful, great, grand, do it. But don't get them involved. I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's like I don't like it.
I don't mind if they get involved to do it. You know, if the person gets beat up, like if, you know, Bad Bunny's not out there doing crazy shit during the match, but he gets the pinfall or something. Okay, I'm okay with that. If the partner, you know, whoever celebrity's partner is, beats up the other person to the point where, okay, you just have to go lay on him, that's fine. Or, you know, say it's a heel celebrity type, you know, give somebody a chair shot or something like that. Okay. But I don't need you in the match. Going like I liked to me, like what Kevin Owens did to Logan Paul,
mm-hmm.
or what he did to Machine Gun Kelly back in the day. I mean, that's what these guys would really do to these celebrities. Who are we kidding?
But, right. You'd rather have them do that instead of trying to figure out, okay, let's try out some sort of match. I think the only guy that really did well when doing this whole celebrity thing with the WWE was, that Amel guy, Arrow guy, when he did that Stephen Amell. And when he had that whole thing with Cody, and well, then we saw it again later.
He's got some new show that's going to be coming out where he plays a professional wrestler.
I saw that. I'm like, eh, that's interesting. I don't know. I'm not going to go in obviously with a lot of hopes because that's going to be on like a CW thing, right? Because that's where the Arrow is. I know.
I think it's going to be on Netflix if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's going right there. Well. When is that supposed to come out?
I don't know. I don't follow it that much.
Right. But you got to have athletes like, celebrities like that are legitimate athletes. Like this Bad Bunny, it surprised everybody. And it's.
I mean, at least he took it serious enough to actually go train. I will give him that.
Right.
But I mean, the casual wrestling fan doesn't know that. They just go out there and see Bad Bunny make a fool of literally your last world champion.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. No. Doesn't make sense. But let's move on to our next topic here in Rants and Raves.
All right. This is something that I've ranted about for years and years and years prior to ever even being on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Tag team wrestling. WrestleMania 10 gave us one tag team match. The Quebecers versus Men on a Mission. And I think it lasted about 7 minutes. That's what we got. Ended in a count out. Men on a Mission won, did not win the titles. And just going back and thinking about the tag teams that we had in the WWF in 1994, you had the Quebecers. You had Men on a Mission. You had the Bushwhackers, the Head Shrinkers, the Smoking Guns, Well Done, and the Heavenly Bodies. The Heavenly Bodies, not even really, because they were kind of loaned from Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Right.
And then at the time of WrestleMania 10, you still had the Steiner Brothers, who were on their way out. So you had a little bit of talent there, especially with Steiner Brothers, the Quebecers, the Head Shrinkers, the Smoking Guns. There's still a lot of holes there, though, with the likes of the Bushwhackers, Well Done, Heavenly Bodies, Men on a Mission. Men on a Mission never really got a tag team push till they became heels, and by then Mo never really did much anyway. But do you think WWF did their tag teams a disservice by not featuring them in more prominent roles?
Yes and no. I think there is some logic behind it, because we talked about the whole thing about everybody had a job gimmick. In this aspect, a lot of these guys were gimmicks. You know, you're talking, you got the rappers with the Men on a Mission. You got the Canadian team of the Quebecers. The Head Shrinkers were, I don't even know what the heck they were. You had the Cowboys. You had this, you had that. I would have rather seen them do something like have the Steiners. Granted, they were on their way out here, but get them just to run all over these guys, because then you get to see all these guys on a card. But on the other side of it, I think it is somewhat of a disservice, because it's showing you that, hey, we'll just throw two guys together, put them in the ring. Nobody really gives a shit anyways. Well, yeah, these guys are great athletes. Look at the Steiner Brothers. Just to, for better, you know, maybe not so much to that aspect, but even the Smoking Guns were good. You know, Billy and Bart Gunn. But I will go to my grave, and I'm about the same lines as you. Where this time, this is just terrible for tag team wrestling. I say anywhere from basically from 94, 93, all the way up to 2000. Because then you get to see these, the flashes of the Hardys and the Dudleys and the Edge and Christians and all these great teams.
Yeah, but 2000 to 2003 was about it.
Right. As far as decent tag team wrestling.
And now
right?
It's, and then after that, it's, you know, a bunch of people thrown together again. So
like now,
I don't get it. I mean, I never will get it. I don't, and I understand Eric Bischoff's whole, you know, you got to pay for four people to do one match instead of two, yada, yada, yada. But tag team wrestling is a part of wrestling, always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there is wrestling, there will be tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you shit on tag teams? There's obviously people out there who want to be tag teams. The Legion of Doom, you know, for instance. The Hardy Boys, great tag team. Didn't ever look to try and accomplish anything really besides being a tag team. You know, you do hit gold every once in a while when you throw two singles together and make them a tag team, i.e. the New Age Outlaws. But the Smoking Guns were good. The Head Shrinkers were really good. I mean, they were together for a long time. And then obviously the new version of the Head Shrinkers with Fatu and Sione were complete dog shit. But, you know, the Steiners, the Quebecers, you had something with Men on a Mission once they turned heel. You really did.
Mm-hmm.
The Bushwhackers were a comedy act. Well done. Nobody took them seriously. But I mean, you think of the Heavenly Bodies. A lot of people don't know this. Boy, they had some brawls and some really, really good matches with the Rock and Roll Express and Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
They were literally Jim Cornette's Midnight Express to the Rock and Roll Express in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah, because that was like early. That was
mid-90s.
Just before this. Mid-90s. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, because they made their first appearance in the WWF at Survivor Series 93, wrestling the Rock and Roll Express for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team titles.
At that, yeah. I remember watching that, too.
Right.
But I think you go back to the old adage, because I think I forgot who was talking about this. Not this exact thing, but they didn't want to pay more people out. This was in that time where the money wasn't great in this time frame. And tag team wrestling, they didn't want to put so much into tag team wrestling, because then you had to pay four guys instead of two or what have you. And you look
but
at
you're still doing it. Because, I mean, after this, shortly after this, the Head Shrinkers beat the Quebecers for the tag team titles.
All right.
As long as you have tag team titles, you still got to pay for it. So, you know, at King of the Ring 94, the Head Shrinkers wrestled Yokozuna and Crush. At SummerSlam, the Head Shrinkers wrestled Bam Bam Bigelow and IRS. You're still having these matches. What difference does it make?
You're just getting them thrown together regardless.
Right.
So it's,
I mean, you had, you know, we talked about this before. WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania 6, WrestleMania 7. They all had like 14 matches on the card.
Right.
What's the difference?
Whether it's tag team or not. Yeah.
You're throwing all these people in a match for fucking 2 minutes, 90 seconds, 3.5 minutes here. What difference does it make? You got to pay all these fuckers anyway just to have me. I mean, you have a Royal Rumble or a Battle Royal. I mean, at this time in 94, it's not like everything was live. They taped everything. Yeah. So, and if it's really that bad, you do what Eric Bischoff was talking about doing. If you listen to the last week's episode of 83 Weeks, when he was, you know, going to be buying WCW and bringing it out. The cheapest way to do live television every week is do it in the same spot.
Which makes sense. They're doing that now.
Raw could have done it at the Manhattan Center like they started.
They can do it at WCW. They could do it at Universal Studios in Orlando. They could do something at the Omni or something
like
that.
They were going to be doing it in Las Vegas because they had a spot with they could get a crowd of about 4,000 in.
And you mean WCW, you mean?
Right, then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's plenty of places to do it. So, I mean, yes, you want to tour and yada, 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 but I mean, these guys are touring anyway. You go to a house show back in those days, there's 10, 11 matches going. Been there and done it.
Yeah.
You're not paying much for that.
Yeah. And I think we briefly touched on it too, is this pay-per-view is going to be basically known as the whole Owen and Brett feud, but I think we're touched on this as well, but I think they kind of went too long with this feud. As much as I hate saying that, it could have been summed up pretty quickly, but that's neither here nor there. But Dave, what, if you want to touch briefly on that, great. If not, we'll move on to the last topic, but
I'm done with it. Vince McMahon and tag team wrestling infuriates me.
Yeah.
His whole view on it.
Yeah. So what do we got for our last topic there, Dave?
The last topic is Randy Savage. At this pay-per-view, Randy Savage wrestled his last televised match for the WWF. Now, looking back on this, Vince McMahon was going with a youth movement. Supposedly, according to Bruce, Vince McMahon had convinced Randy Savage to move to Connecticut. He was going to work in the office and be on commentary. Savage still wanted to wrestle. Randy Savage was 41 years old at WrestleMania 10. We saw he still had a lot left in the tank in WCW. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Randy Savage and this being his last televised match for the WWF?
Like a lot of things in this business, there's a lot of different sides of the coin to every discussion, to every argument. This one is not unlike that. With Savage, I think the reason why McMahon wanted to keep him in the office, keep him in on commentary is two things. One, to keep an eye on him, and two, to take care of him. He didn't want him to go to WCW. Savage is one of those original guys, along with the Hogans and Andres, that have been with the company forever. He's going to want to take care of him. That's what he learned from his father when his father was taking care of the guys previous to him. Do I like him being in the office and on a commentary? No. I want to see him in the ring. When I go to a pay-per-view or a wrestling event, whether it be Raw or whatever, at this time, I want to see Savage. I don't want to see him in the commentary. And looking at it now, back between now and 94, being 41 years old in the business, that ain't old, man. Unless you got some sort of injury with you, it ain't old.
The only thing that was ever old about Randy Savage was his bald spot.
Yeah.
Until, you know, now when you see him for the first time or whatever in TNA, it's different. In like 2004, 2005, whatever that time frame was, that's different.
Right.
But in 1994, Randy Savage could still go, and he proved it in WCW. I mean, hell, the match with DDP in 97.
Mm-hmm. That was classic, man.
So, and it's, you know, Savage was quoted as saying that one of the reasons he left was because he wasn't ready to hang up the tights, and he was trying to talk Vince McMahon into a feud with Shawn Michaels. Could you imagine what we could have gotten with a Michaels and Savage?
In 94 and 85?
That would have been awesome.
But that's the thing. That's those types of matches with Savage and a Michaels as an example of a lot of things that McMahon has done to the older wrestlers where they try to phase them out a little bit. We don't want to see them. We're trying to get the newer, younger guys and gals in there so we get more money. I get it to a certain point. But at the same time, this is the guy that made this company for you. You have to take care of him. And if he can go, he's going to go. And like you said, 41 years old is not old. Maybe even in 94.
How old is Edge now?
He's got to be into his 50s. Because
he ain't in his 50s.
Well, he might be his late 40s then. He's got to be at this point because I think Adam Copeland is
47.
Okay. Well, he's getting up there, but you're looking at guys. What was it? AJ's in his 40s, upper 40s. You get
AJ's like 42, 41.
Yeah. But the wrestling business nowadays is not what it was like in 94. It wasn't what it was in 2004. It wasn't what it is. It's totally different where you can last until your 50s if you stay in good shape. Look at Dustin Rhodes in AEW. You look at a lot of these guys that still can go if they stay in shape.
Well, I think one of the things that helps too is, especially now, there is no travel for these guys.
That's which helps.
Right. So because of COVID, there is no travel. And if reports are correct that WWF, WWE, whatever the case may be, is pretty much done with the whole house show model, or as they call WWE live events now,
right?
That will really help with the travel too, because that's seemingly an everyday thing for these guys. So if they're not having to do that, I think that'd take a lot of wear and tear off the bodies and probably help with the lifestyle some. You know, you really think about what killed all the wrestlers from the 80s and the early 90s. They all died of heart attacks.
Pretty much.
They all lived hard rock star lifestyles.
Because they're on the road all the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, literally, if I was on the road all the time, I'd go out and party all the time.
Well, yeah, it's a given.
If you're not home and you don't have any responsibility, you go out and party. It's what you do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is. And I think that, you know, not being on the road 300 days a year, the mileage of flying and all that, I mean, because these aren't small guys, so flying's not comfortable for them. I mean, even the biggest of guys, you know, Triple H, was he 6'5"?
Yeah, there's about
5, something like that.
Yeah.
Even flying first class can't be comfortable for somebody that's 6'5" and weighs 270 pounds. So even if you're flying first class, it's not fun. I mean, I've flown first class a few times. It's still flying. You still got to get up and go to the airport and do all the crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, 41. Yeah, I thought Savage was older then. You know, you when you look at people that are 41 years old a lot differently when you're 12 than you do when you're 39.
Well, right.
So, hell, look at Tom Brady. He just won a Super Bowl at 43. Go Bucks.
God damn you. God damn you. You had to get one in, I know. But, no, I get what you're saying. And we start seeing this with the AEW start doing house shows. Granted, they're a younger roster, but it's like, okay, it's you really want to, you know, play this hand. It's up to you. I'm like, I really don't care personally. I'm like, I'll see these shows, but I may not want to do that. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. But let's head up back up to the ring to Rich for our last segment of the episode.
The following contest is scheduled for 10 minutes and revolves around you. It's listener questions.
It's time for our listeners' questions. We got two this week, Dave. One comes from our good buddy, James Quello. He asked us, do you think Brett getting two matches and the belt at WrestleMania 10 is Vince saying, yeah, I fucked up for WrestleMania 9?
I don't really think so. I, you know, from what I've understood is that the plan was for Hogan to go over at WrestleMania 9 anyway, and then to drop the title to Bret Hart at SummerSlam in 93. So if anything, the problem is, if that's the case, Hogan reneged on what was supposed to happen and then chose to just drop the belt to Yokozuna. So I don't know. It's one of the things about Bret, like I've said before, he takes all this shit too seriously and gets too mad over this stuff. You became world champion, dude. Who gives a shit? You got to lose it at some point. It's just like when he lost the belt to Shawn Michaels, he got mad. Well, I feel like I'm a transitional champion. Well, you held it from Survivor Series to WrestleMania.
That's November to March is not too bad.
And at some point, I mean, everybody's a transitional champion.
To some point.
So at least you weren't booked like the Miz just was. You don't see him out here bitching.
Well, you look what he can go home to.
Well, hey.
Oh man, we saw that. But yeah, I think this is a little bit of it saying, yeah, my bad kind of thing to a certain extent. But at the same time, like you said, Brett always has been that guy that he doesn't get his way. And even nowadays, a little bit, maybe not so much as then, but he doesn't get his way. He starts pissing and moaning about shit. Now, more than obviously, but I think it was more so, hey, I screwed up. I should have done a little bit differently and still had Hogan go over. But like you said, I think that was the right thing to do because Hogan was pretty much on his way out. 94 is here, but you want your face of the company to be happy and doing this. I just think he said, okay, the hell with it. I'll just bite the bullet and make you champion.
But I mean, he was a 5-time WWF champion. Did you really have it that fucking bad, Brett?
Well, apparently to him he did, but I don't. Yeah, I just I don't get it. Where a lot of the business, everybody wants to dwell on the negative. Well, who gives a shit, dude? You're like you said, you're a champion. You do this, you do this. You're one of the most popular wrestlers of all time now. Why are you going to make this crap blow it out of proportion? But
Hey, whatever. So our next question comes from Devin Dowling. He says, Crush could have been huge. If Randy Savage would have put him over here, how high do you think his career would have went? Keep in mind, this is 94. This is Kona Crush.
I think Crush was about where he was. Look earlier, I mean, a year before that, he was jobbing out to Doinks and Shawn Michaels and everybody else. Before that, he was ruining the greatest tag team of all time in Demolition. But I didn't hate Crush. Crush was fine, but I never saw him as anything really legit or a true main eventer. Mm-hmm. So I thought more, I liked him in WCW when he became Brian Adams, and the tag team with Brian Clark is Chronic. Mm-hmm. Brian Clark, who you may know as Adam Bomb. So Crush and Adam Bomb were a tag team, Brian Clark and Brian Adams. They were Chronic. And in WCW, I thought that, I mean, they were pretty over.
Yeah.
Even in the, you know, in the 2000 timeframe, 2001, then they came to WWF and just got absolutely jobbed out. I don't know. Like, I don't know what Vince had against Crush or anything like that, but I never thought Crush was going to amount to much in WWF regardless.
Well, when he started there with Demolition in the late 80s there, early 90s.
That was in 91.
91. And when you're the third man in the booth kind of thing, when you're the third man of the team, they're just trying to feel out what the hell you're going to do. He would have went later on.
Well, I mean, because he came in 90, yeah. But by 91, Demolition had fizzled out.
Right.
So Axe was, I think, pretty much, if you talk to Axe, he was kind of being given the Randy Savage treatment here.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought in a third man. They were kind of using the old Freebirds rule. So Crush came in. Because you go back and look, Axe and Smash beat Andre the Giant and Haku at WrestleMania 6 for the tag team titles. Right. The Colossal Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Smash and Crush lost the tag team titles to the Hart Foundation at SummerSlam in 89. Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, SummerSlam 90. So that, after WrestleMania 6, that SummerSlam, Smash and Crush lost the belts to the Hart Foundation. And then at Survivor Series, Axe, Smash, and Crush teamed with Mr. Perfect against the Ultimate Warrior, Kerry Von Erich, and the Legion of Doom. And that was pretty much it for Axe in the WWF. And I think that's why we never really got much of a feud between Demolition and the Legion of Doom, because the Demolition that we all knew was done.
Do you think it would have been better, like you said, with the Demolition tag team, the original tag team, if they would have had them, you know, feud with LOD or the World Warriors or whatever earlier on before they even our LOD came to the company?
Yeah, I think as soon as LOD came in, that's when the feud should have been, if there's going to be one.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think that they would have. Well, who's going to do what? You got guys coming in like the LOD, Road Warriors. Okay, what, they could be face, they could be heel. We know Demolition could go face or heel. What's going on? I don't think that they really wanted to run.
I never really understood. I think Demolition was turned heel just because LOD was coming in. Mm-hmm. Because the Demolition heel turn made zero sense.
Because they were over either way, though.
They were over as faces.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Sky Dome in Toronto absolutely erupted when they beat the Colossal Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And Demolition was always over. But I think that they were just turned heel because WWF didn't really know what to do with the Legion of Doom coming in. We got to have somebody to feud with, blah, blah, blah. And then you know, so in March, Axe is good enough to be your tag team champion, but by November, he's on his way out the door because he's too old. I ain't buying it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Smash has come out and said the chemistry just wasn't there with him and Crush. So.
But I think that's a lot of the times when you bring any third guy in, it's like, okay, there's some obviously teams that have that to that exception, but you bring somebody in that late in their career, it's like, okay, well, good luck with this stuff because it's probably not going to work because your chemistry is not really working, won't be able to work that well.
Yeah, but I mean, it is what it is. It's everything's got to come to an end at some point. I mean, they did it with LOD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought in draws and then Heidenreich, didn't he join it for a while there in mm-hmm.
towards the
2005?
End yeah.
So, I mean, just whatever.
It was there, but it's like, okay, do we need it? That's the thing. Okay, is it something we want? Maybe, but is it something we actually need? Not so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked Crush as a heel a lot better than a face. I know that much. So when he was the evil Kona Crush with Mr. Fuji, I liked him a lot better than Shaka Bra Crush.
Yeah, well, his real. But I really think he shined when he was with Brian Clark there with Chronic. Even
yeah,
when
the best he was with Chronic for sure.
Even when he was over in Japan. Him and Brian, that was good there. And then when they came over, they went to WCW. And then unfortunately, when WCW was bought out by WWE in 2001 there, they came back and then they pretty much jobbed out to, you know, all the tag teams. And
well, they
WWE.
Got beat by Undertaker and Kane. And I think that was about it.
Yeah.
They pretty much were out the door after that.
And they might even went back to Japan after that. But like I said, regardless, but thank you to Devin and James for those questions. So, Dave, we're going to close shop for tonight. Same as always, go over, make sure you follow us on the Twitter gimmick there at _ringside rant, Instagram _ringside rant. He is at Dave in the QC. Make sure you give him a follow as well. Check out the merchandise store at ringsiderant.wolfapparel.com. Make sure you go over and subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your family. Really appreciate all you guys listening and viewing the show. All your major podcasting platforms. Big shout out to our boys over at the Shining Wizards Podcasting Network, as well as the Full Press Radio coverage. Every Saturday, they're doing Wrestling Saturdays. So check them out. Download the app over on iOS as well. Dave, you got anything else, or you ready to close shop for the night?
No, that's it. I think this is going to be a pretty good episode.
Yeah, WrestleMania 10 has always been up there with a lot of fans as far as being one of the top WrestleManias. So hopefully it'll come off. Let us know, like I said, across social medias. Let us know what you think, what you'd like to see more from us, and we'll go from there. But this is coming out on Friday at 9, this Friday. Stay tuned to our Twitter feeds on Saturdays. Hopefully we'll have a big announcement coming out about next week. Our 100th episode, Dave, of the Ringside Rant is next Friday. We're going to have, knock on wood, all goes right, all the stars align, and everything goes off without a hitch. We're going to have a big time guest next Friday on the Ringside Rant. So stay tuned on that. Hopefully we'll be making an announcement tomorrow as you're listening to this, hopefully on Friday. And in regards to the next week's episode. So appreciate everybody listening this week to the Ringside Rant. And we look forward to seeing you next week right here in Ranters Nation.